There's just something about, to me, the Bible and trying to teach the Bible straight, just scripture by scripture. I like that. Some churches take it a lot more serious than we do, but I'm glad that we're able to study His Word. Oh, and I also forgot, we will have tea and candy canes. So, I mean, look, I'm buttering you up. I appreciate the songs that Sherry sang this morning because we did We Three Kings in our lesson last Wednesday. And we did, I forgot, there's three of them. We also did O Little Town of Bethlehem. And then we did O Holy Night. And so it's just amazing. So I hope that we'll learn something from this message this morning. And the song that I'm featuring is Joy to the World. Let Earth Receive Her King is the title of this message. Let Earth Receive Her King. If you want to look in the book of Matthew, we're going to read several verses out of the book of Matthew, verses 7 through 12. And the song We Three Kings of Orient Are was a gift. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 2, 7 through 12. The song We Three Kings of Orient Are was a gift that a man who was a lawyer, preacher, and real smart guy, a writer, wrote for his nieces and nephews so that they would have a greater appreciation of the Epiphany, which is January the 6th, supposedly when the wise men brought the gifts to Jesus. And so he wrote it, and it, really there's probably not kings, but astrologers involved. We call them wise men. Whoever they were, they brought three gifts that are very symbolic. And we appreciate Matthew including this. Luke doesn't mention this, nor the other Gospels. But Matthew gives us this accounting. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go searching carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. You know what? If we were at a sporting event and the name Herod was mentioned, we'd say boo. This guy was a bad guy. He was a liar. He didn't want to worship. He wanted to kill Jesus. And he made an attempt, but he failed because God was watching over Jesus. Verse 9 says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I want to just emphasize this. They had been watching the star, but when they felt like it had settled, and it had given them the absolute GPS coordinate of where Jesus was, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. This is important. Let earth receive her king. It's important how we do that. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And two of them are right here, the frankincense and myrrh, and they smell real good. At least I think so. Maybe I like them a lot. They smell good. A beautiful, clean fragrance. And verse 12 says, and then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's pray. Lord, we honor you today with this word. And I pray that you'll touch hearts. Lord, that you'll minister to each and every one of us. We need your touch, and we need your blessing and your strength. Holy God, I pray for every life to be challenged a bit, changed a bit, and encouraged a lot. I pray, Lord, your tenderness and your power from this word in Jesus' name. Amen. We were at Claren Evans School. They've already gone out. We were at their school Friday night for their singing. And there, I tell you, that little choir and those young kids did a fantastic job. They belted it out. To me, it was a real clear. I don't know if I've ever heard kids sing so clear and so much rejoicing in their heart. And it was awesome. But the school principal said that their theme was a door, and they had artwork out explaining that. In my mind, you got to remember, I'm in construction. I thought, a door. That's cool. You know, like a door. The only thing is, they were talking about a door, like, come, let us adore him. Boy, did I miss that one by a million miles. But I really appreciated the way the children sang and the real good spirit about it and all, and wonderful talent. Claire had a speaking part, and they both sang and lifted up the name of the Lord. Let earth receive her king is a line of the song Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. The writer of the song was Isaac Watts. He was born in July 17th, 1674, in Southampton, England. He was kind of a rebel to the Church of England because he didn't like the way that they just dominated everything, and people didn't really have a choice. They were just like little robots. They had to do march step and stay in line and don't think any different and don't do any different. There's a couple of church organizations that's like that, and they just feel like people are too stupid to know God. And I'll tell you what, Jesus died so that every individual might know God. Isaac Watts rebelled against it. He thought the music was too old and not with it enough, and he wanted to see change. He studied Greek, Hebrew, and Latin, and got even almost bored with that, and then he went out, and he was an intern at a church in London, and within a few years he became a successful pastor there at age 26. He also wrote the song "We're Marching to Zion," and "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross at the Cross," and "This is the Day that the Lord Hath Made." He died in 1748. In 1788, now how many's going to remember these for the test later? 1788, Lowell Mason was born in Orange, New Jersey. He was involved with music since his teen years. He led choirs, and he did everything he could, but he couldn't make a living in music. A lot of people have found that to be the case. They go on to do something else and come back to it and have success later on. So he went to Savannah, Georgia to become a banker so he could live. And then in 1827, he found a publisher in Boston. He moved to Boston, and he became absolutely a dominant force in Christian music. He wrote more than 600 hymns, including "My Faith Looks Up to Thee," "Near My God to Thee." And in 1836, he found "Joy to the World" that was using different music than what we know today. And he thought it was a little ho-hum. So he had a song that he had composed, Antioch, and it just absolutely needed some words. So he took the majestic music and put it to the majestic words of "Joy to the World," and "Joy to the World" was reborn, and that's the way we know it today. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." I want to just quickly go over the gifts. The gold represents the kingship of Jesus. The most precious metal and it represents purity. I looked high and low to find out how much that would be worth today. Most people wouldn't give us a number. Someone said that they felt like that it was worth about $115,260. So I thought, well, that's something. I'll go with it. The frankincense represented the priesthood of God and the high priest of God in Jesus Christ, an altar of worship, and it's an aromatic clear resin used for incense, perfume, and healing. And it would be worth about $439. The myrrh represented Jesus being the prophet and the sacrifice for all of us. And it's a spice used for medicine, for cosmetics, anointing oil, and it's also used as a painkiller to deaden and soften pain. When Jesus was on the cross, they gave him myrrh and vinegar mixed, and he refused it. He took all of the pain. The total would be about $117,300.40. And that again, if you say, well, I dispute that, go ahead. Give us a bigger number, give us a lower number, it doesn't matter. But it's something that we have. And the commentary said that it was probably enough to buy the inn that they couldn't get into because there was no room, and maybe even the whole city at Bethlehem at the time. But the story of the wise men, I think, is probably one that we hear every year, but I don't know if we understand that the wise men were the exact type and the exact way that we should seek the Lord and open our heart to him and receive him. Because the wise men come from afar. How many knows how far that is? Some people say they came from Iran, Persia, others from North Africa. And in that day, it wasn't like today where you could hop on a plane and be there in a few hours, but it took them a lot of effort. When Debbie and I pack up, I've got a little I've got a little bag with my shaving equipment and manly stuff like that, right? And I'm ready to go. It just picked that bag up. Oh, yeah, Debbie, don't look at me that way. I'm ready to go. And lately, I've been more willing to travel than ever. Debbie just doesn't believe it. But there is an effort any time you go, even if you go overnight. I generally get the biggest bag and throw a bunch of stuff in and say, okay, I'll be fine. I have everything in the house. The kitchen sink we won't need, but everything else. But these gentlemen had to prepare, and it cost a lot more than it does for us to jump on a plane even today and to take a big, big trip, because it was a far journey, and they really didn't know how far. So they were preparing like I do, Debbie, getting everything in there in the big suitcase, because they had to make sure they had enough provisions, enough food and all. And they also prepared with the gifts that they would bring to a king. So the first place that they go, if you're looking for a king, where do you go? You go to the capital city, right? And you go where? And Bethlehem and Jerusalem were only 5, 6, 7, 8 miles away. I've heard different numbers, so I covered all that I know. And so Jerusalem, they went to Jerusalem and they talked to Herod, who was the king, and who was a very jealous, very hateful, very ornery king. And when they came to him, it surprised him that there would be another king born anywhere. And he was determined to find out where that king would be born. And so he asked the priests and the people, the wise men around him, what does the Bible say? And they began to go back, and they went to Micah and said that he would be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod came to the wise men secretly, didn't want anyone else to hear. Hey, go and find, he's going to be in Bethlehem. You go find the exact location and come back to me and tell me where it's at, and I'll go and worship him too. Again, a big, big lie. So the wise men set off again with Herod, somewhat blessing, deceitful as it was. And when the star seemed to fix itself over the house where Jesus was. Can you imagine that? I don't know what happened. I don't know if the starlight came down or if it shone down. You know, like the big lights that they send up when they're opening a market or something like that. And you know, you look and you could follow it and then, oh, there it is. And go in and enjoy the grand opening or whatever. I don't know how that was, but the light, when it fixed itself, it said they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Because the effort that they had made, the preparations that they had made, the plans, the prophecy that they knew about, it was all coming together and they were finding what they wanted to find. They were finding the King that they were looking for, the King of all the world. And so they saw the star, and then when they went into the house, this is not, you know, we a lot of times see the manger scene with the wise men, and that's not real. That's convenience for us to have all the players in one place, right? And it's a nice visual, but it's not reality. The wise men came when Jesus was somewhere between 1 and 2 years old. And so they were seeing a baby. And I love babies. You love babies. We especially love our babies. I've got pictures of a lot of the grandkids and nieces and nephews, and I can remember when they were little and how precious and how wonderful. And we love babies. But you don't worship a baby normally. You take care of them. You do everything that you can. But you don't really account that a baby would be a king, the King of the whole world. And yet when the wise men, now remember, wise men, they were very intelligent people. They had caught something in their spirit far away in their homeland. And they traveled all of this way. And when they saw Jesus, they weren't disappointed. They were happy in who he was. Even though he was a baby and he wasn't at that point the king of the world, he hadn't given himself on the cross yet, they worshiped him. They gave all of their physical adoration. They were down on their knees, no doubt their face on the floor, and they worshiped Christ. How long did this last? I don't know. We need to worship him in the same way today. Just love and adore our Savior, because for us, he's already lived his perfect life, died on the cross, resurrected, and sits at the right hand of God in glory, making intercession for you and I. But this is a way the whole world should receive their King. They gave their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which if you're a millionaire and you give $750,000 away, you're no longer a millionaire. But hopefully what you've done, who you've given to, is a blessing, and you're happy with your gift. I don't know if these guys were very, very rich or what their status was, but I do know this, that they brought very expensive gifts to give to this Christ child and to give to the family. And I believe with all of my heart that it helped Joseph, who was a carpenter, who no doubt did well and well enough to get along, but he wasn't ready to travel to Egypt and do different things. So God provided the finance, and the gifts represented Jesus as the King of all and as the one that would live a perfect life and draw. Jesus drew a lot of hatred. How many is aware? I mean, a lot of times he preached, He healed whole cities, and then he had people coming wanting to kill him. What's wrong with those people? And all of the religious leaders got together, and finally they took his life on the cross. But Jesus died for all of us, and so the frankincense represents his holy life, and the myrrh his death and sacrifice. And his resurrection gave life to all of us. And if we're going to accept our King today, we need to make the provisions and make the effort. We need to seek him with all of our hearts and be delighted in the things that are of him. Be delighted in all that is Jesus Christ. To give him our gifts, to give him our life, and to worship him without any question, loving and praising and honoring the Lord. Now, the last scripture I want to read is in Isaiah chapter 62. And the scripture says, for Zion's sake, this is verse 1, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name, and you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land be any more termed desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you. You know, Jerusalem has taken a lot of hits in not so much economic, but in the way the world views Jerusalem. But I'm going to tell you something, that Jesus that came to this earth as a baby, and he lived like we lived. He had his toddler years, his teenage years, and he grew up to be to the ripe age of 33 or so, 33 to 35, and he was crucified. He had lived all of his life perfect. Now, by the time I was probably 2 or 3 years old, I had already sinned. How many is in that? Well, not terrible things, but, you know, you ask a little baby, did you do that? You lied, little baby. But Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And he went away to the Father, but he's coming again at a time called the Revelation or the Second Coming. This is not the rapture. This is beyond that. After the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus will set his foot down and he will stop the war by defeating the Antichrist. And then Jesus will go into Jerusalem. And I'm going to tell you what, things are going to get so good for Jerusalem and for the Jewish people. Jesus is going to give them a second chance after they've gone through so much. He's going to give them a second, third, fourth, I don't know, 10 millionth chance. And he's going to show them mercy, and he's going to make them the glory of the world. Everybody. You know, you look at and see a lot of people hate the Jews now. That's going to be a thing of the past. Because if you hate the Jews then, you're going to suffer for it. And everything is going to be blessed. Instead of, you know, they're going to have silver laying around like it's rocks. And there's going to be gold in the streets. And God's going to bring such a change and a renewal. You and I will be raptured already, and we'll be ruling and reigning with the Lord. But God's going to turn things, and Jesus will be the King of kings of that time. And then we'll go on to the endless age, and he will always be the King. Aren't you glad you have received your King, and that we live for him and we love him, and that we live in under the benefit of his power and his mercy? Debbie, would you come to the piano? We want to We want to close with a song. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. I like this last part. He rules the world with truth and peace. Truth and grace. And he makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Praise God. Would you stand this morning? And rather than asking you to come, to move, to do anything, right in your place, would you just lift your heart and receive him and his presence and his power into your life right now? I'm not saying you're going to be born again. I'm saying just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Holy God, we love you so much. We love you so much. We love you so much. We accept your will and your blessings in our life. And we pray, Lord, for every individual, for Calvary Temple. We pray, Lord, for this community, Campbell. There's a lot of people that don't know how to receive you. But we receive you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We receive you as Savior of our lives. Lord, you love us with a love that we can't even comprehend. You've given us peace that we don't understand, but we receive it. We receive it with great joy. And we pray, Lord, your blessing. This is a busy time. Give us strength. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless every person, whatever they do. Bless what their hands do, the work. Bless and strengthen each and every one. Those who are retired, give them strength every day to enjoy the life that you've given. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to us as we celebrate this afternoon, that you'll bring blessing to us. Lord, let our lives be touched, enjoy the fellowship with each other and with you. Lord, we honor and give you glory. Thank you for everyone, and we give you praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can consider yourselves dismissed. We love Jesus today. Aren't you glad you can serve him freely? He's given us so many blessings as Americans and as Christians. Let's go in that liberty and glorify him every day. Amen. God bless you. We'll be serving dinner by 12 o'clock or lunch by 12 o'clock.